NRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Three people are dead and one injured after a train collides with a van in Stewart's Draft. Shenandoah National Park officials lift a ban on fishing. And some Virginia Republicans are supporting Kamala Harris for president. That's part of a long Virginia tradition of crossing party lines. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, August 13th. People are dead and one injured after a train collided with a van in Stewart's Draft Monday night. The Daily Progress reports that state police say two men and one woman died at the scene and a fourth person inside the van was taken to the hospital. Police said the van was leaving a solar project site in Stewart's Draft shortly after 8 p.m. when it collided with a Norfolk Southern train. The train was headed north toward Waynesboro from Stewart's Draft and struck the van on the driver's side. Shenandoah National Park officials have lifted the park-wide ban on fishing in a news release on Monday. Officials said that recent rainfall has improved conditions for fishing, but they remind anglers to be gentle with the fish and the environment they inhabit. The drought this summer has created stressful conditions for them. The National Weather Service has confirmed that at least two tornadoes hit Virginia during Tropical Storm Debby. The agency says an EF1 tornado touched down in Stafford County, reaching peak winds of 90 miles per hour. A second EF1 in Loudoun County moved westward into Clark County and reached winds of 100 miles per hour. No fatalities or injuries were reported. The Weather Service previously confirmed an EF1 in Carolyn County, prompting a local storm debris emergency through August 25th. Governor Glenn Youngkin issued an executive order on, quote, comprehensive election security last week. It cements steps that the Elections Department has taken since leaving a national data sharing collaborative known as ERIC. Youngkin spoke at an event last Friday showcasing Interstate 81's expansion.
And so I want to make sure that all of those processes, plus what's on the books already, are actually being done. And so this Executive Order 35 codified a lot of the things that are already being done, a lot of the new things that we're doing, and I'm asking for them to certify back to me every year that we are following these enhanced protocols so that our elections will be safe.
An executive order only lasts as long as the governor's time in office. Concerns about the use of slave labor and subhuman working conditions were the subject of a recent Virginia Procurement Work Group meeting. One state senator has offered a bill banning the state's purchase of materials made in such conditions. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
We have to go to the mine even to pay for a pen or pencil. That's the nature of living. We have to do it because if we can't, people die with malnutrition.
That's Francois Mokombiwala. He's a refugee from the Democratic Republic of Congo. He now lives in Harrisonburg, where he's the director of Aid to the Cry of the Oppressed in Africa. He was describing his own experience in slave-like labor conditions. He started mining to survive in his early teens before conflict in his homeland forced him to seek refugee status in America. Now, 20 years later, while advocating for legislation that would have made it easier for refugees and immigrants to get housing, he met Southside Senator Bill Stanley.
And I think it's a great statement for the Commonwealth of Virginia saying we're not going to tolerate that, and therefore we're not going to buy products that come from those type of nations.
That's Stanley just before the recent procurement meeting. His 2024 bill would have banned the import of cobalt and other minerals, many of which are used in the creation of renewable batteries, mined under such conditions. But it was killed by committee and instead sent to the Procurement Work Group to study such a ban's impact. Mukambilawa hopes the ban will come to pass and that it sends a message beyond state purchase agreements.
Big corporation actually will open their eyes instead of being greedy and stuff like that. Actually, they have to see how real people are suffering, how children are suffering.
The Procurement Work Group should provide recommendations ahead of the 2025 General Assembly session. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Some Republicans are supporting Kamala Harris for president. Crossing party lines is part of a long tradition in the Commonwealth. Also with Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope reports.
For many years, the tradition in Virginia politics was for state Democrats to remain quiet about national Democrats they did not like and didn't want to vote for. During the reign of Senator Harry Byrd, this was known as the Golden Silence. And John Milliken at George Mason University says it worked.
He would just not say anything about the presidential race. But most of his followers took that as a sign that they could comfortably vote for a Republican at the national level and not suffer any repercussion for doing that.
Now things are more explicit. In 2016, former Republican Senator John Warner endorsed Hillary Clinton. And now former Republican Congressman Denver Riggleman is endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris. Former Republican delegate David Ramadan now teaches at George Mason's Schar School, and he predicts many more never-Trump Republicans will emerge in Virginia.
Simply because the other side is egregious, and the election is one of those consequential elections. You can't stay silent in those scenarios.
Republicans are hoping they can get some traction this year in Virginia, where the 13 electoral votes have not gone to a Republican since the re-election of George W. Bush 20 years ago. I'm Michael Pope.
And finally, today, Virginia Public Radio's Christine Cuter has been traveling the Commonwealth this year for our Meet Virginia series. This month, she introduces us to a doctor in Newport News who is using her own experience with trauma to educate new doctors and transform medical care for women. And just a note about the content of this story, it does discuss childhood trauma and abuse.
Scrubbing in before surgery to songs from the 80s, elbow to elbow with medical residents in a cramped, cozy lounge, squeaking down halls and dance goes the trademark clogs clinicians often wear, and Thursdays when there's sesame chicken and broccoli stir fry in the hospital cafeteria.
It's my happy place.
But getting here wasn't easy for OBGYN Norma Jones-Ives. Many early memories are fraught. A sudden back injury meant her mother, single and a live-in housekeeper in Los Angeles, could no longer work. By age 5, little Norma recalls couch and public housing surfing with her mom, leaving elementary schools almost as soon as she'd arrived, and sometimes dodging caseworkers from social services. Before long, her stepfather materialized, and with him, nearly a decade of sexual and verbal abuse.
I saw the power dynamics. I think at a young age, I always said, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm educated, I have a good career, I want to be either a doctor or a lawyer so that I won't have to depend on someone.
By the time Norma was a teenager, she started working outside the house before finally landing a job at age 16 that would shape the course of her life. Disneyland.
Started out as a float driver. I did some character roles for certain parades, like the electrical parade, Christmas parade. It was amazing. It was such a wonderful, perfect world.
The Disney job built Jones-Ives' confidence and network. She could buy a car, insurance, and later pay for college and ultimately medical school. It supported her during her residency at UCLA Hospital and even connected her to her now husband, a musician in the Toy Soldier Band. Disney also helped birth Jones-Ives' passion for women's health and her drive to support other abuse survivors. Today, her backstory has everything to do with how she mentors the doctors and doctors-to-be at Riverside Regional Medical Center, who learn from her during their obstetrics and gynecology fellowships. They call her Mama Jones.
She's on mag now?
She's on mag now. She got procardia 10 times 1. Her pressures are...
Plastic speculums? Okay. Never let them click. A whole body clench on the exam table? Slow down. Obesity or addiction? Always ask patients about a history of trauma.
Whether it's sexual abuse, physical abuse, whether they're neglected or abandoned, I think sometimes they turn to food as a source of comfort.
Jones-Ives does gynecological surgeries, too. Everything from hysterectomies to pelvic organ prolapses to crash cesarean sections, which can deliver a baby in under 2 minutes. But with patients, she is never in a rush.
We kind of joke that OBGYN, like, we're gynecologists, because a lot of times women will say all their, you know, issues and a lot of problems that women have are related to... kind of issues that are going on in their family and their past and all of that will affect their health. It's amazing when I look at our patients that there's usually some trauma pretty much all the time. So, and I think that's what drew me to OBGYN. I felt that I could recognize which patients had issues. And then that's when I started sharing with them. I'm like, you know, it's it's not your fault, and I'm here to help you. I feel like I want to care for them. Like, I don't know, just protect them.
To those who might be survivors of abuse, she shares a bit of backstory, Spanish when necessary, and a lot of plain talk.
This is a safe space. I go, this is, you know, between you and me, nothing will go outside, you know, just so that they feel, you know, comfortable and, you know, safe. And I just try to tell them, I go, it happens. It's 1 in 3, and it's not your fault. Because I think a lot of, you know, sexual abuse survivors, they have that guilt, the shame. And I just try to reassure them that, you know, you're not alone.
Reporting from Newport News, I'm Christine Cuter.
Free, confidential help is available 24/7 for women and men who are victims or survivors of sexual abuse. You can reach the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-4673. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy your Tuesday.